The book of Revelation is not a sealed book, or a book of mysterious teachings, hard to be understood. Because we read that the Apostle John was commanded, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. We saw set forth in our last study the reason that the book of Revelation and the prophecies in it were not to be, closed. They were to be opened up because the time was at hand when the character and state of every man would become permanent, according to Revelation 22:11. Let's read it. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. We close with this thought that there comes a time in every man's life, you get it now, when he crosses that unseen line between life and death, between heaven and hell, and the great gulf becomes fixed between him and a holy God, or between him and sin, and there's a permanent state throughout eternity. Now that's true. And you can't pray him out of that state, bud. Now let's look at the 12th verse. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. That's a blessed expression to the believer. And behold, I come quickly. Here we have the incentive given to the Apostle John and to every God-called preacher to faithfully and solemnly preach the gospel and warn sinners because he says, I come quickly. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is to come quickly demands that we give time to the study of this book and urgently preach it, laying open the truth of judgment to come and calling men to repentance. As the Apostle John said in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Let me ask you a question, my preacher friend. Are you shutting up the truth of God's word? God never calls a man to misrepresent him. Let's preach God's word. Let's declare the truth of the judgment to come and warn men to flee while there's still mercy. There's no time for delay. There's no time to be idle. Up and let's go, be going. Up and let's be preaching. Up and let's be witnessing for Christ. I wish everyone out there in radio land who says in your heart that the Lord has saved you would get up off your stool and do nothing and get busy witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not? Why not? You folks here in this church, why not? When old Isaiah had a vision of the holiness of God in chapter 6 and his lips were touched with coals from off the altar, the first thing he cried was, Lord, here am I, send me. You know, if you are not busy about the Lord's work, I just doubt your salvation. I just be frankly with you. I just don't think you've got anything. Christ said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. We need no greater incentive than the great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the fact that we do not know at what moment our Lord may return, we may not have much time left to witness for our Lord. Let's live with that thought in mind, will you? Now look at that 13th and 14th verse. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that is, wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, John 1:1. He is the living Word. As the Word of God, he is the complete and full expression of the Godhead. in saying, I am Alpha and Omega, which are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. He is saying, now get it now, hold your seat, the revelation of me is the unveiling of the whole expression, purpose, thought, plan, heart, and counsel of God. I am the fountainhead of God's purpose and plan back in eternity, and I am the consummation and fulfillment of all His decrees. Everything that can be known of God is found in me. Then he says, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Apostle Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, if you turn to Isaiah 41:4, you'll find these words, I am the Lord, the first and with the last. I am He. And Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. The Lord here in these and other passages is Jehovah, the great I am, the self-existent one, who was before time began, who shall be when time has ceased to be. The name that Christ gives himself here, Alpha and Omega, has a peculiar relationship to the name Jehovah. Salvation was born in the heart of Jehovah back in the councils of eternity. And it is consummated in the fullness of time at the end of eternity. At the end of the age, rather. At the end of the age. Yes, Christ is the beginning and the ending of our faith and of our life. There's no place for anything or anyone else. Sister, there's no place for a cigarette there. Not even a little old cigarette, no. There's no place for anything or any one thing. It's Christ, 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 or hell. Christ is first, Christ is last, Christ is the center, Christ is the circumference, Christ is all in all. Therefore, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It is Jehovah Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, who utters God's last beatitude. Blessed are they that do his commandments, literally wash their robes, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Hear the Lord's last message and appeal to men. Once again, the Lord Jesus sets forth the blessedness of those in Christ in contrast to the state of the captives of Satan in verse 15. Now listen, far without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What makes the difference? Look at that phrase, do his commandments. Literally it means wash thy robes. This refers us back to Revelation 7:14, where we are told that these are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The great qualification for heaven is to be cleansed from sin. In Titus we are told, according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. In 1 John 1:7 we find these words, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's left no room for water, no room for works, no room for anything else. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. No place for purgatory, limbo, any other thing. From these scriptures, we see that there can be no doing or keeping the commandments that can save the sinner without this washing or cleansing by the blood of the Son of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul said that we are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Revelation 1:5, Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You may ask, how can I be washed from my sins? Turn to John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. My sinner friend, the only way that you can keep the commandments of Christ is to obey the gospel according to Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? This is the hope of heaven. That's my hope. I know what it means to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know what it means to be cleansed by the blood. Do you know that daily cleansing? Listen, only blood-bought, blood-washed sinners have a right to the tree of life and to an entrance through the gates into the new city. Only blood-bought, blood-washed sinners will occupy the new city and the new earth. The battle line today, get it now, hold it. The battle line today is over the way of grace. How is a sinner saved? The Bible teaches only one way, that salvation is of the Lord, wholly of grace, and it is the gift of God. That salvation is by blood and by power. You are delivered out of Satan's territory by the power of God and washed in the blood of the Son of God. If salvation is of the Lord, and it is, then Christ is revealed to your heart through the Word by the Spirit of God. In other words, Christ is lifted up out of the Word by the Holy Spirit and made known to your heart. Then no matter where you open your Bible, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's so. Revelation 21:27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Therefore we anticipate the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous here, between the inhabitants of the eternal kingdom and those who are shut out. Those who are righteous are the ones who have washed their robes and kept his commandments. Those who are unrighteous have six characteristics. Let me name them. War without. First, dogs. Second, sorcerers. Fourth, whoremongers. Third, whoremongers. Fourth, murderers. Fifth, idolaters. Sixth, loveth and maketh a lie. All right, listen. The first character of the sinner outside of the kingdom of God is that of a dog. The dog is considered unclean, a scavenger that feeds on dead or unclean refuse. On account of his wantonness, the name of the dog was used to designate men addicted to unnatural vices. This passage refers to the wicked in Revelation 21:8, where we have the description of the dog set forth as fearful, unbelieving, without faith, and abominable. A dog is a cowardly animal in many respects and suspicious by nature. Abominable refers us back to the character of the first, the great harlot, Mystery Babylon. Every unsaved individual feeds on filthiness of the abominations of the world under the cloak of religion or the worship of Satan. The next three classes are given in reverse order of Revelation 21:8, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers. The scripture sets forth sorcery as, get it now, sorcery, what is sorcery? Sorcery is voluntary intrusion into the supernatural world and meddling with secret powers of the unseen world. Sorcery deals with spirits or demon possession, palm readers and their patrons, necromancers, fortune tellers, hypnotics, ventriloquists, sleight of hand expert, faith healers, dope addicts, alcoholics, and so on, who are trying to delve into the mysteries of the supernatural apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say what you please, but you're not getting to heaven on that basis, because you are courting the devil. The next class or characteristic of these excluded from the presence of God is whoremongers are those who follow other lovers. Demon spirits are everywhere called unclean spirits in the Word of God. And every individual who is not in Christ is courted by the demons to follow after Satan and other lovers besides the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Proverbs 6:26. Satan will offer a sinner every lust of the flesh to entice the sinner away from Christ. And when that sinner wakes up in hell, it's because he has followed the lust of Satan to hell. The spirit of demon possession is the spirit of fornication and whoredom. This includes all sex perversion, sodomy, homosexuality, uncleanness, which is the common way of life among the unsaved world. Now, did you notice that statement? I said that's the common way of life among the unsaved world. You won't walk among the unsaved today, whether they are religious or otherwise, and you find that their common conversation, as a rule, is sexuality. This class, the whoremongers, refers to the lust and uncleanness of that great section of humanity, and they know nothing about love and the sweetness of home life or the beauty and glory of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Great portions of that part of humanity may be very religious, but their religion is only a covering or a veil to hide their lives of whoremongering. Then the fourth class of murderers, haters of God and haters of men. The Lord Jesus Christ told those Pharisees in the 8th chapter of John, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. Every sinner is guilty of first-degree murder, the death of the Son of God. And just as everyone who loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him, so everyone who hates the Lord Jesus Christ also hates his brother and is a murderer. Then the fifth class or characteristic is idolaters. These are the individuals who worship something else besides the true God. Jehovah said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And he who worships anything except the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is an idolater. Every idol, back of every idol, is a demon spirit, regardless of what form the demon takes. According to Deuteronomy 32:17, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they know not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. In reality and in the finality, it is the worship of Satan, the great adulterer. And unless the sinner repents and turns to Christ for salvation, he'll be cast into the Satan's bed, the lake of fire. Then the sixth class is composed of whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now I want you to listen. Lay down everything, listen. Who loveth and maketh a lie. That word loveth means be friendly to one, to delight in, or long for a thing, or to do something with pleasure. It is the nature of every sinner out of Christ. He delights in that which is false. He rolls it around under his tongue as a choice morsel. Here it says of the lie, he loves it. And John 8:44 says that Satan is the father of the lie, the Antichrist. Turn to me to Psalms 2:12. "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little." The word loveth here, get it now, the word loveth here in Revelation 22:15 also means to kiss. It is the word for love that is used in the scriptures to denote an inclination prompted by sense and emotion. Every unsaved sinner loves Satan, is delighted with and finds pleasure in the emotion of the senses and of the flesh, which Satan tickles to hold in the chains of darkness and delusion. Then the word maketh means to produce, construct, form, or fashion. Day by day, my friend, you are fashioning a life of falsehood and deceit. Satan is weaving the web of delusion from the threads of your own deceitful heart and life of falsehood, because you exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, let's turn to the 16th verse. Listen. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, I want you to listen now. Here the Lord Jesus himself affixes his signature to the revelation which he has given of himself to the churches. It is not another, but this same Jesus who went away in his crucified, buried, and resurrected body unveils himself to the church in the closing book of the written word. He does not say, I am the Lamb of God, nor I am the Son of God, but he says, I, Jesus. All right, now he's signing this book of Revelation. And you fools who make fun of and make light of the book of Revelation, you are blinded, you're on the road to hell, you don't know Christ, because Jesus himself, born of the Virgin Mary, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, born of a virgin, Jesus affixes his own signature. He says to John, hand me that document. Hand it to me. And he signs it. I, Jesus. Just like I'd say I. When I sign a document, I, L.R. Shelton. I, L.R. Shelton. He says here, I, Jesus. And fixes his own signature to this book we call Revelation. The beloved disciple, John, had walked with this same Jesus from Capernaum to Jerusalem, sat at Simon's supper in Bethany with this same Jesus when Mary anointed his feet and had followed a great way off on the way to Calvary, had stood at the foot of the cross with his mother Mary. He saw the empty tomb with the grave clothes laid in order and had run to tell of the disciples. He met in the upper room in his resurrected body, ate fish with him by the seashore before he went back to heaven, and then watched him ascend back to heaven from the top of Mount Olivet. After he told them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yes, it was this same Jesus who gave the beloved disciple, who now the aged seer, the vision of the things which shall be hereafter, unveiling Jesus, the Savior, as the glorified Redeemer, who in flaming fire taketh vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same Jesus who is the Alpha and the Omega, Jehovah God before the foundation of the world, and Jehovah God in the consummation of all things. It is the same Jesus who makes the difference between life and death, between the blessed who have washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb, and the accursed stands naked in their filth. As Jesus, he is the faithful and true witness who sends his angel or messenger to testify and witness to the truth delivered to the churches, to be preached to all men, that God hath set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, and that because God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus is the one with whom every man has to do. You cannot be neutral. Before you is set two courses, life or death, righteousness or unrighteousness, filthiness or holiness, the right to the tree of life or the second death, entrance into the gate, into the city, or to be cast out of the city. Jesus as Lord makes the difference. Do you know him? Do you know that Jesus? I do. I do. I know Satan's preaching another Jesus. But I won't tell you, my friends, when this great document was written. And John wrote it there. And he said to John, hand it to me. John, hand it to me. And the Lord Jesus Christ stepped forth, and when he signed it and handed it back to John, I, Jesus. What did he say? I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Oh, John knew from the Old Testament scriptures that the Messiah was to come as king through the lineage of David, through the tribe of Judah. In the 5th chapter of Revelation, when John wept because there was no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, who was able to open the 7th seal book, one of the elders said to him, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And he said, John, I, Jesus, the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. I put my signature, I stamped it with I, Jesus. And you better not break that seal. You better not make fun of it. God pity the man that does.